To Khan, Jeremy, and Bill, my three oldest friends, one thing I won't rethink. Prologue. After a bumpy flight, 15 men dropped from the Montana sky. They weren't skydivers. They were smoke jumpers, elite wildland firefighters parachuting in to extinguish a forest fire started by lightning the day before. In a matter of minutes, they would be racing for their lives. The smoke jumpers landed near the top of Man Gulch late on a scorching August afternoon in 1949. With the fire visible across the gulch, they made their way down the slope toward the Missouri River. Their plan was to dig a line in the soil around the fire to contain it and direct it toward an area where there wasn't much to burn. After hiking about a quarter mile, the foreman, Wagner Dodge, saw that the fire had leapt across the gulch and was heading straight at them. The flame stretched as high as 30 feet in the air. Soon the fire would be blazing fast enough to cross the length of two football fields in less than a minute. By 5:45 p.m., it was clear that even containing the fire was off the table. Realizing it was time to shift gears from fight to flight, Dodge immediately turned the crew around to run back up the slope. The smoke jumpers had to bolt up an extremely steep incline through knee-high grass on rocky terrain. Over the next 8 minutes, they traveled nearly 500 yards, leaving the top of the ridge less than 200 yards away. With safety in sight, but the fire swiftly advancing, Dodge did something that baffled his crew. Instead of trying to outrun the fire, he stopped and bent over. He took out a matchbook, started lighting matches, and threw them into the grass. One smoke jumper later recalled, "We thought he must have gone nuts. With the fire almost on our back, what the hell is the boss doing lighting another fire in front of us? That bastard Dodge is trying to burn me to death." It's no surprise that the crew didn't follow Dodge when he waved his arms toward his fire and yelled, "Up! Up this way!" What the smoke jumpers didn't realize was that Dodge had devised a survival strategy. He was building an escape fire. By burning the grass ahead of him, he cleared the area of fuel for the wildfire to feed on. He then poured water from his canteen onto his handkerchief, covered his mouth with it, and lay face down in the charred area for the next 15 minutes. As the wildfire raged directly above him, he survived in the oxygen close to the ground. Tragically, 12 of the smoke jumpers perished. A pocket watch belonging to one of the victims was later found with the hands melted at 5:56 p.m. Why did only 3 of the smoke jumpers survive? Physical fitness might have been a factor. The other 2 survivors managed to outrun the fire and reach the crest of the ridge. But Dodge prevailed because of his mental fitness. When people reflect on what it takes to be mentally fit, the first idea that comes to mind is usually intelligence. The smarter you are, the more complex the problems you can solve, and the faster you can solve them. Intelligence is traditionally viewed as the ability to think and learn. Yet, in a turbulent world, there's another set of cognitive skills that might matter more: the ability to rethink and unlearn. Imagine that you've just finished taking a multiple choice test and you start to second guess one of your answers. You have some extra time. Should you stick with your first instinct or change it? About 3/4 of students are convinced that revising their answer will hurt their score. Kaplan, the big test prep company, once warned students to exercise great caution if you decide to change an answer. Experience indicates that many students who change answers change to the wrong answer. With all due respect to the lessons of experience, I prefer the rigor of evidence. When a trio of psychologists conducted a comprehensive review of 33 studies, they found that in every one, the majority of answer revisions were from wrong to right. This phenomenon is known as the first instinct fallacy. In one demonstration, psychologists counted eraser marks on the exams of more than 1,500 students in Illinois. Only 1/4 of the changes were from right to wrong, while 1/2 were from wrong to right. I've seen it in my own classroom year after year. My students' final exams have surprisingly few eraser marks, but those who do rethink their first answers, rather than staying anchored to them, end up improving their scores. Of course, it's possible that second answers aren't inherently better. They're only better because students are generally so reluctant to switch that they only make changes when they're fairly confident. But recent studies point to a different explanation. It's not so much changing your answer that improves your score as considering whether you should change it. We don't just hesitate to rethink our answers. We hesitate at the very idea of rethinking. Take an experiment where hundreds of college students were randomly assigned to learn about the first